Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I told you this was going to be a good Monday show. And this hour, Dr. Ray Guarendi with us, his new book, Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage. You can get it wherever good Catholic books are sold. Or you can just call and talk to Dr. Ray if you have questions about building a stronger marriage. 888-318-7884. Of course, Dr. Ray Guarendi, father of 10, and well known for his work on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Television Network. And maybe he came and spoke where you are. If that happened, you're very fortunate because he's a great speaker. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you for being with us. Do I have Dr. Ray? All right. Okay, we got an audio problem. That's all right. We'll get Dr. Ray on with us in a second. He's a really good speaker when you mic him properly. He's not that good if you just leave that up to chance and you can't get the audio to work. They're working on it in there. We'll get it in a second. Although I can tell you this, the lines are going to fill up quickly with Dr. Ray here. So, and this is a subject that most of us could use some help on, those of us who are married. And if you'd like to ask your question of Dr. Ray Guarendi, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage just came out and it's available now. You can get it online. You can read it online. You get the Kindle edition. You can get the paperback edition. And or, as I said, you can just pick up the phone and call us and you can talk to Dr. Ray when we can get the sound to come through. What happens sometimes is somebody steps on the hose somewhere and then there's a little crick you're getting in the hose and then the sound won't come through. So somebody, we're working our way back along the hose to see where the sound is getting stopped up. Somebody will just straighten that thing out and all of a sudden it'll come shooting out the other end. We'll have plenty of sound come shooting out the other end. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. I'll tell you what I'll do though, because I got time now and I won't have to do it later. I'll just tell you the ad for this hour. I'll just tell you right now what the ad is. You don't have to wait for the ad this hour. The ad is this. Join us when we go to Rome of the Catholic Answers Pilgrimage. Go to CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com until the last day of this month, which has 30 days in it. Until the last day of this month, you get a special deal. And then the early bird special, at least I'm told, is over after that. Chris Check is going to go. Joe Heschmeyer is going to go. I'm going to go. And that's the flannel panel. We're making a flannel panel pilgrimage to Rome. And one of the great things about this pilgrimage is it will be entirely Rome. And you might say, well, I want to go from city to city and do that. Or maybe you're used to that kind of a pilgrimage. This is not that, because there is plenty. There's more than enough to cover in 8 days in Rome. Go to CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com if you'd like to join us. And I think somebody took their foot off the hose and the sound is coming through now. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thanks for being with us.
Can you hear it?
Okay, now I can hear it. Yeah.
You got it?
You sound good. Yes.
Oh, how did this happen? You know what we did? We left and now I can't hear you.
This is going to be a good show. Okay, so Dr. Ray Guarendi cannot hear me.
I can't hear you.
All right, I'm going to do.
Well, that's okay, because I will supply the questions that you would ask, and then I'll just ask answer them.
That is a good plan. Let's hear.
So, Dr. Ray, how did you get so smart? Is it natural? Is it genetic? You know, is it education? What exactly is it? Well, Si, you know, to kind of talk about these things, you're asking great questions. I just wanted to tell you that.
These are my best.
Now, okay, I got you now. You're there. I can see you. I can hear you.
That's the question you've always wanted me to ask you. You got
your lips are moving.
Don't look at the screen.
Your lips are moving, but you sound like, yeah, you sound like, you're like, if you, Godzilla.
Like a Japanese horror movie. Yes, I know. Don't look at the screen. Look up. Look up at the sky. Do not look up at the screen or you will not be able to do the show. The single best question I ever asked Dr. Ray, he asked himself, how did you get so smart? And I don't believe we got an answer from that. How did you get so smart?
I married my wife. I was a floundering single person and she domesticated me against my resistance. Hey, but I got to tell you, this is important. Masai, this is talking about marriage, right?
Yes.
I want to tell the guys, this is very important. You need to commemorate things like anniversaries. For example, we just recently had an anniversary. And my idea was, okay, let's redo our first date. So I surprised her. I said, honey, we're gonna redo our first date. And we went horseback riding. And it was wonderful until I ran out of quarters.
You went to that in front of the same supermarket that the original date was on?
Yes. Out of quarters.
You know, you never see those anymore. I don't even think people under 20 or maybe even 30 aren't going to know what you're talking about.
No. They went the way of payphones.
Simple steps to a stronger marriage. Is that really true? Are there simple steps to a stronger marriage?
You familiar with something called the cascade effect?
I'm going to say yes.
Oh, okay. Then tell me what it is.
Okay. I was trying to play along. I was trying to be helpful.
Don't try
I didn't
to be
say
a
yes.
Psychologist.
I said, I'm going to say yes. I didn't say yes. All right. Give me the simple steps.
Parent walks in my office. This is an illustration of the cascade effect. Parent says, my five-year-old is unpleasant. My five-year-old is surly. My five-year-old seems to be unhappy. Our time together is more friction filled than I'd like it to be. So I give them just a couple of very simple discipline ideas. I ask, can you do this? Yes, we'll do that. We don't like the way this is going. Okay. 2 weeks later, they come back. Maybe 4 weeks, they come back. How are things? I don't know who we're living with. This child is so much more pleasant. She's hugging us more. She's kissing us more. This moodiness that she had, this trip switch frustration is gone. I said, wait a minute. All I did was give you a couple of simple steps. You're telling me all this happened because of a couple steps? And they said, I don't know how to explain it, but it did. That's the cascade effect. A couple of simple steps can bring about a lot of changes that ripple through the relationship.
Ah, so that's what we want in marriage then. We want to try to have a positive cascade like that those parents had with that child.
Yeah. You don't have to do anything fancy. You know, all these marriage books, you know, 10 happy ways to a fulfilling marriage. You know, you go to these women's magazines and they all say, here's what you got to do. You got to communicate with I messages, not you messages. It's not that complex. The secret to a good marriage is that there's no secrets. These are time-tested, common-sense ideas. Here's the problem, Cy. This is the problem with everything. People will say to me, what's the hardest part of being a therapist? Do you not know what to say? No, I've been at this long enough. I pretty much know what to say. Do you ever get shocked by what you hear? Not really. No. I've been at this long enough. I don't get shocked. Well, what is the hardest part then? I said, that's simple. The hardest part is convincing somebody to do it.
Oh, yeah.
I spend 70% of that marriage book trying to convince people why these simple little things are good to do.
Doctor,
I get past the resistance.
Yeah. Dr. Ray Guarendi's our guest. The new book is called Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage. Your questions are welcome. 888-318-7884. But I'll tell you right now, there's only one line open. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to make sure all the pipes are working so we can get the sound straightened out. And then we will be right back just to take calls for Dr. Ray Guarendi on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Hi, friends. Jonet Williams here. Join me every Wednesday on Women of Grace Live as I welcome New Age researcher and blogger for Women of Grace, Sue Brinkman. Sue and I will be talking about all the wacky things that could distract you from your faith. Psychics, yoga, Reiki, crystals, acupuncture, Ouija boards, tarot cards, and astral traveling are just a few of the stranger things we discuss. That's why we call it Wacky Wednesday. So join us every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. You are welcome to call 888-318-7884. We're talking about his new book, Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage. And this is the part where I usually do the ad, but I'm not going to do the ad because I already did the ad. So Chris Check just walked in the office, so he's not going to hear me do it. He's not going to know that I already did the ad for the pilgrimage, that you can go to CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com, that you can still get a break on the cost of it if you go to CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com. I'm not going to do any of that stuff, Chris, because I already did it. Dr. Ray Guarendi, you ready to would you like to take some calls on people asking questions about how to make a stronger marriage?
Well, first of all, I'm a little offended, Ty.
Yes. Why are you offended?
Well, we were on some kind of Zoom link, right? We were doing face-to-face, right?
Yeah.
This is reminiscent of when I was in college and girls would hang up on me when they found out it was me. What you guys basically did is said, look, we really don't want to see his face. Let's just do the voice.
Well,
the face is kind of distracting.
You're really, really good at radio. And we just want to emphasize your strength. We just want to go. We want to play to your strength. All right, that's all we're doing. All right, whether you want to or not, I'm making you take calls now. We're going to Iowa. John's in Iowa. John, thank you for your patience. I go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Dr. Ray, I'm looking forward to your book.
Hey, thanks, John.
I've been married 43 years. And the simplest thing, couple of simple things we do. One is we do the supernatural simple thing, and that is we go to Mass every day. So we have the same readings, the same instructions, the same philosophy, the same wisdom that we're growing together. And we read Three to Get Married before we got married, and Love and Responsibility by John Paul II. And it showed me that I didn't have to have all the answers and all the strength to enter into this. And when we do marriage prep, we tell the couples, if you think this other person is going to make you totally happy, you are marrying an idol. You're not marrying a person. So daily Mass and or the daily rosary, if you can't get there, read the readings together. On a natural level, do a walk together. Every night we go for a walk for about 30 minutes to an hour. That's our natural holy hour. Today we went shopping for flowers. We planted them. We fixed the fence that was broken. We tore a shrub out. We did it all together. So are you going to talk about these things in your new book?
No. To be blunt. Because first of all, those ideas have been talked about by so many people, and they're wonderful ideas. However, for people to do this, they must have a real willing desire to do these things. You tell somebody to go to daily Mass as a marriage couple, that's not going to happen. That's a small, small, small minority of people who have the time or even the cooperative spouse to do that. My suggestions are even far simpler than that. So, for example, let me give you one. Listen a minute. In other words, if your spouse is telling you something you don't want to hear, if, in fact, you're feeling attacked or, oh, here we go again, listen for 1 minute. Don't just shut your mouth for 1 minute. Give them your attention so that they feel like you are at least trying to understand where they're coming from. Somebody will come in my office and they'll say, you know, I just wish my husband would stick up for me a little more with his mother. So I turned to the guy. Do you know why your wife thinks like this? No. How long you been married? 24 years. How long has this been a friction? 24 years. And you don't know why she thinks like this? Have you ever listened? I don't agree. You don't have to agree to listen. Give her 1 minute of your time, and that 1 minute makes her feel like she's appreciated. At least you're trying to understand. The interesting thing about this, people want to be understood more than they want to be agreed with. So that's what I mean, John, about even simpler than the beautiful things you suggested.
John, thank you very, very much. So if I'm to take your what you said, if I'm correct, Dr. Ray, you might say that to a couple, but then you have to work with them over and over and over again just to take the advice, just to say, yes, that's what I'll do. I'll listen to her for a minute while she tells me what she means when she says this.
In the book, every chapter, I have something called resistance rationales. In other words, the justifications that people give for why they can't do that or they don't want to do that. For example, one of the simple steps is say you're sorry. Well, the resistance rationales to say you're sorry are huge. One, I didn't do anything wrong. Two, if I say I'm sorry, it'll be thrown back in my face. Three, I'm always the one who apologizes. Four, I'll hear, sorry doesn't make everything right. If you were truly sorry, you'd change your behavior. And I take all of those justifications and I take them apart so that I can show the person, say you're sorry is not tough. People will say to me, I'm always the one apologizing and my spouse does not apologize at all. And I'll say, why is that? Because they think they're superior. I say, you're exactly wrong. For a person who never apologizes, it's not a matter of them thinking they're superior. They're insecure. Because if they say, I'm sorry, it means too much. It doesn't mean at that point in time, I did something wrong. It means I'm a failure. I'm inept. I'm inferior to you. I'm a bad person. I'm a wretched sinner. Whatever it is they're telling themselves is out of insecurity. That's why they don't apologize. So I talk about that in the resistance rationale too. If I say I'm sorry, it's admitting too much.
That's why we need Dr. Ray right there. All of those things, by the way, that you said, the person says, I feel this way often when you talk about marriage. I feel like I've made all those mistakes. I've said all those things. But what a wonderful insight that the other person, that you can make this assumption about why the other person says what they say. And that assumption, it's just your assumption. It doesn't mean anything more than that's what you assume that is behind it all.
Si, I don't really want to hurt your feelings, but your wife called me about an hour ago and said, can you bring up this sorry thing on the program? I said, I'll do that for you.
She would do that too. That's just the kind of person she is. Oh. The number is 888-318-7884. The book, get it. It's called Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage. Up next, we're going to Annie in Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Annie, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Good evening, Dr. Ray. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Hi, Annie.
We just found out my husband has prostate cancer. And so with that in mind, he will have his prostate removed here soon. What suggestions would you give to us to further our marriage?
Do you have a solid marriage now?
6 years tomorrow.
No, I'm saying, Andy, do you have a pretty solid marriage right now?
Yes. Yes, sir. We do. Okay.
So in a lot of respects, you kind of do the same things you've been doing, only okay. maybe you pay a little more attention. There's something I talk about in the book, Annie. Have you ever heard of something called the law of entropy?
Yes, but I can't say what it means off the top of my head.
It means this. Everything decays in time. Mountains will crumble.
Okay.
Your body will age. The sun will eventually burn itself up. In the book, I talk about something called the law of social entropy, and it affects good marriages. That means that as we become familiar with somebody, as we've spent a lifetime with them, we get sloppy. We don't compliment as much as we used to. We don't use our manners as much as we used to. We don't hug, kiss, touch as much as we used to. It's not because there's hostility. It's because we've just gotten lazy. And so I would say with you and your husband, as you're entering into this time where you're going to be hit with the same crisis, make sure the law of social entropy, get rid of it, kick it out. Say, you know what? I gotta resurrect all the good things we used to do that we've just gotten sloppy about. That's what I would suggest.
Good. Excellent. I'm looking forward to reading the book.
Well,
thanks,
thank
Annie.
You. Thank you, Annie, very, very much. The book is Simple Steps to a Better Marriage. Our guest is Dr. Ray Guarendi, and off we go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Alex in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening on Catholic.com. We're glad you're here, Alex. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well.
Hey, Alex. Good. So I'm 34 years old. I've been single my whole life. I'm trying to figure out if I should try to get married. I think on the one hand, I'm very attracted to women. I think they're fascinating for the most part. I think it would just be amazing.
I love the way you put that, Alex. They're fascinating
for the most part.
Yeah, in different ways. I think it would just be amazing to have such a deep connection with somebody. So, you know, it's something I'm interested in, but on the other hand, I'm just not sure I could handle being a father for two main reasons. Number one, I'm not sure I even want to. And number two, I struggle with a host of mental problems like anxiety and depression. I just had another episode of depression recently, and it was horrible, as it always is. I'm just worried that, you know, being a father, the loss of autonomy, the loss of sleep, and just all the anxiety that comes with having to take care of a kid, I'm just worried that that would just make me completely crazy. And as I understand it, if you're married, you have an obligation to have kids unless you have a great reason not to. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that. I'm not sure about that. But my question is, given my hesitation about being a father, does it make any sense for me to try to pursue a romantic relationship that could lead to marriage?
Alex, you are making a completely uninformed decision. You have no idea how that child will climb underneath your heart. Your generation is saying this more and more. I don't want kids. I don't know if I have the responsibility for kids. I don't know if I can take care of a kid. I don't know if I'll love a kid like I should. And then when they have a child, all of a sudden, this kid becomes the center of their universe. You can't know how emotionally embracing you will be of that child until you have that child. Side, before you had kids, did you have any idea what those kids would do to your heart?
Absolutely not. No, no. And I wanted them and I didn't know.
Exactly. Every parent underestimates the connection, the reward, the attachment
to those children. So, Alex, when you say, as I look around me and I see other kids and they don't excite me and I see these brats and I'm not real content about it and I really don't know if I have the emotional stamina to do it, you're making a decision on the basis of not at all having the information.
Bill, we're coming up on the break, so I'm going to leave it there. And excuse me, that was Alex. I beg your pardon. Bill's coming up next. I hope that was helpful to you. But we got to go to the break, so we will do that. Our guest is Dr. Ray Guarendi. The book is Simple Steps for a Stronger Marriage. Excuse me, Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage. If you'd like to talk with Dr. Ray, we got a couple lines open. 888-318-7884. 888-31 Truth. Right back with more Catholic Answers Live. Want to get right to the core of Christ's saving message? Want a roadmap for living the life Christ calls you to? It's time to look again at the Beatitudes. In his new book, Heart of the Gospel, How the Beatitudes Show Us God's Plan for Happiness, Father Sebastian Walsh demonstrates compellingly how these eight declarations make up the foundation, the essence, and the final goal of Jesus' teaching. Heart of the Gospel illuminates the scriptural passages from which we get the Beatitudes, explains the significance of their wording, their order, and their timing in Jesus' ministry, and it draws out edifying parallels and connections with salvation history in the lives of the saints. Most importantly, Father Walsh offers wise counsel from his own work as a priest and teacher to help you live the Beatitudes in your own life. Order your copy of Heart of the Gospel today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity. In the early church was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage, a new book from our guest, Dr. Ray Guarendi. I am going right back to the phones, as I said, but I get to ask questions every now and then. And I got a question because I feel like I'm developing a sense of a point that you're making. And I want to see if I've got it right. But it does seem like all the experts in marriage and all the expert advice that we get has maybe overcomplicated it with people, and they're maybe overwhelmed or they're out on a limb trying to do stuff. They don't need to do all that. There's some simple things they can do that's going to do much more good than learning all the eight steps from whoever the doctor of the week is.
One of the things I tell parents, Si, is I'll say, the simpler something is, the more likely you are to do it. And the more likely you are to do it, the better it works. We're not built to be complex
right.
in our human relations. For example, just a small example. You raised a bunch of little kids, and what is one of the main things you always told the kids? When somebody gave them something, what did you say?
Say thank you.
Say thank you, right. And you hammered that away hundreds and hundreds of times because you knew that manners convey dignity. Manners convey respect. Manners are courtesy. They are important. Well, one of my small steps is use your manners. Because in marriages, In marriages, we don't have the manners of a five-year-old.
Right.
If my wife puts coffee in front of me, do I say, honey, thank you for the coffee? Or I just, before we came up here to do the show, she cooked me some pasta. I said, baby, that's a great meal. Thanks so much for that. Just thank you, please. We don't. We get sloppy again, as I said. We don't use the manners of a five-year-old.
888-318-7884, the number, 888-318-7884. I have to say again, whenever Dr. Ray talks about these mistakes people make in marriage, I feel like he's reminiscing about things I've done. So I'm so happy to. It is such a basic thing that you married this person. Why? So that you could have worse manners with them than you have with everybody else?
Well, interestingly enough, I don't want to offend you, but you are the before picture in the book.
Yeah, well, that's right. I am that guy. I am. I'm working on it, but I'm that guy.
Underneath it, it said, don't be this guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, I'm not trying to get you to therapize me or anything, but do people tell you this? Like, okay, I've overcome that. I've worked on that. I've improved on that. And then this happened, and I didn't go back to like step one. I went back to step zero. And I'm almost 60 years old. I've been at this marriage thing almost 30 years, and I can still sometimes just go back to step zero.
Okay, I'll tell you what I tell parents who come in after they had gotten discipline control, and then there was slippage.
Yeah.
And they come back in 6 months later, a year later, and they'll say, we're back to square one. And I'll say, no, you're not. Because first of all, you had several good months.
Yeah.
So you're not back to square one. Second of all, you know you're back to square one. So therefore, you're not back to square one because you are aware of what you now can do. Before, you didn't even know. You didn't even know anything was wrong. Well, right. You corrected it. You did better. And now you're saying, yeah, but I slipped. Yeah, you slipped because of weakness. You didn't slip because of neglect or laziness or apathy or hostility. You slipped because of human weakness. That's very different. So it's really hard to go back to square one when, in fact, you have been on a road of trying to get better and you just fell down.
Yeah. I think you might have a career in this. I think you should think about making this your career. I think you're all right at this.
Before I get too old, get off my lawn.
Let's go to Bill in Tallahassee, Florida, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Bill, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Yeah, Dr. Ray, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I'm calling for, I guess the way to word it is spiritual direction on how married people should treat each other with men. Ephesians 5, love your wives as Jesus loved the church, a very tall order. With the with women, love your husbands. It's it's in the letter of Peter. It's in at least a couple places from Paul. Wives, love your husbands. But considering all the different translations into the English, from the Greek to the English, the word love, you know, we hear about all that. Anyway, if you could put some practical understanding of how a woman knows if she's loving her husband the way the scripture advises her to do that, it would be appreciative. Thank you.
There is, Bill, a simple question that I offer married couples as a diagnostic tool. Who would your spouse say you treat the best? Would they say, I'll tell you what, I wish I'd get treated like the people at work get treated? Oh, I'll tell you what, when she's at church, she's the sweetest. Everybody says she's a saint at church. I wish I saw a little bit of that. If your spouse says, my spouse treats me better than he or she treats anybody else, that's a sign you're on the right track. That's a sign you're doing what Christ said. If your spouse has to say, I sure wish that he treated me as nice as he treats that lady he works with, or I sure wish the people at work who think he's such a saint, then you got a problem. Because I'm treating other people nice for my own benefit. I want them to think well of me, as opposed to saying, I'll treat you nice. I don't expect anything in return. If I'm going to treat those people nice at work, I want them to like me. I want them to applaud me. I want them to say good things about me. But see, if I'm married to you for 31 years and you say, I guess I can't say that Ray treats me as nice as he treats some other people, then I'm not doing what Christ said.
I see.
All right. All right, Bill. Thank you.
You want your spouse to be able to say that. You want your spouse to be able to say, Bill treats me better than he treats anybody else.
What a beautiful standard. I have to say, I would say that about my wife, but you should see how she treats other people. I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Yeah, she has to treat everybody else crappy.
She's all horrible. She's horrible the way she treats other people. All right. The number is 888. I'm only joking. She listens. She's not. Okay.
You're a dead man. You're a dead man, Ty.
No, I'm not saying I'm only joking because I'm worried about her. I'm worried about people who will write and say, you shouldn't say that about your wife.
Hey, you know what? They're going to email me. They're going to say, will you quit picking on Cy? You shouldn't do that. He's such a kind man. Yeah, I'm going to get grief because of the way I tease you, but they don't know how much we care for each other.
Amen. Amen to that. 888-318-7884 is the number. Actually, you should know Dr. Ray treats me very, very well. He's very kind to me. I probably deserve it. I'm going to Linda in Los Angeles listening to EWTN.
I treat you better than I treat my wife.
Oh, well, now I don't know. Maybe we should talk about that. Go ahead, Linda, with your question for Dr. Ray.
Well, actually, funny you guys bring up that topic and just kind of piggyback off of that. But so I find myself bickering. Well, both of us, my husband and I, bickering. We have young children. We have three. We've been married for about 10 years. And I think it maybe stems from a sense that there might be complaining as to, you know, chores and things. You know, that's how I kind of perceive him. And I just need to, wish I'd be humble a little bit more in certain situations. And I just kind of find myself having pride and wanting to kind of, you know, one up or, you know, kind of comment back. And I just want tips on how to, you know, be more humble in those situations and, you know, have a more positive exchange.
One of the quickest ways to be prickly, and that's what bickering is. Bickering is prickliness over little things, is to take them personally. Let's say that he's sloppy and you've asked him, please take care of this, please take care of that. And he doesn't. Now, if you think he's not being deliberately mean, that his attitude is good, she wants me to do it, therefore I won't do it in her face. If that's not him, if it's just his human weakness or his human neglect or the fact that he's ditzy or whatever it is, and you take it personally, if he really cared about what I wanted and what I thought, he wouldn't do that. When you start making that connection, you really get upset quick. If he loved me, if he cared what I want, if he would just listen to my needs. But you, if you do that, instead of just simply saying, maybe you just say to yourself, yeah, kind of sloppy. I'll give you a small example of this. When we first got married, my wife used to leave cupboard doors open all over the place. So I asked her, I said, honey, you close those? Oh, yes. Yeah, okay. And then she would leave them open again. And me being a sweetheart of a guy, I would shut them loud enough that they sounded like gunshots. People would call the cops figuring there were guns going off at our house. Well, one day I came downstairs and I saw about seven of them open. So what I did was I opened all the rest of them. She came down and she saw them all open. And she went, oh, I don't think I sent that many open. I go, well, honey, you know, you got to be thinking about this. And then I realized in a rather short period of time what a complete idiot I was. Here's a woman that has countless beautiful qualities. And I'm getting upset because she's not shutting cupboards. What? So what do? I shut them myself. That's okay. I don't take it personally that she leaves the cupboards open. like I've asked her to shut them, and sometimes she does, sometimes she doesn't. It's just a matter of forgetfulness. Okay, that's not a character flaw. That's not a moral issue. Actually, the real problem was me. I was the one getting upset over something that's stupid. And I think when you bicker a lot, much of it is just stupid. Decide to close the book. In other words, if this is something you've been bickering about for the last year and a half, let it go. Quit bickering. Quit nagging. Quit badgering. And then, you know, people in my office will say, yeah, but if I don't tell him or I don't tell her, they'll just think it's okay. No. How's it working for you now with all this bickering? Oh, it makes it worse. Right. Let it go. Pick the stuff that's really big and a little scrap. Let it go. And then the other person will probably cooperate more than you were getting before.
I think I'm going to leave that there. I was going to go back to and just check on a caller, but I actually got to go to a break. But thank you very much, Linda, for the call. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back with more Dr. Ray Guarendi. 888-318-7884.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
If you have a few minutes a day, you can become an EWTN media missionary in your parish, in your community, or through prayer. Be a part of Mother Angelica's mission. Place your gifts and strengths in service to Christ and His church by volunteering your time and sharing the eternal word with the world. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com today. EWTN, the global Catholic network.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and His gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. His newest book, Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage. Boy, Dr. Ray, we were, somebody called us the other day needing some parenting advice. And it's that funny thing about trying to convince the person. We were trying to get him to get, you're a better parent than you think. And then he would come up with a new objection and we'd say, well, you're a better parent than you think. And he'd come up with some other objection. But I think in the end, we convinced him, you know, it's like you can get these books online, spend a few bucks and you can revolutionize your parenting. That was one of your early books, wasn't it? You're a better parent than you think.
That book, I hate to say this, Cy, book was written 39 years ago.
You could write as a baby?
Yes, I was in kindergarten. I was a prodigy. Yes.
Right. Wow. But have you updated it? Because it's still like, I mean, I'm not saying that it needs updating. I'm just saying like 39 years and it's still just a really fine book.
It was something that I wrote because when I was at the mental health center, I was seeing clients 40 hours a week. I saw how much insecurity and second guessing and questioning of authority and guilt from good parents. And I thought, what is going on out there? Why is this happening? Why are so many parents constantly second guessing themselves, afraid of making bad psychological moves? These are good people. And that's when I wrote that book. I really went after some of the insecurities of the decent parents, because those are the only people who buy parenting books anyway.
Yeah. And that basic message of you can do it, that you have this is a consistent theme all the way right up to the newest book, Simple Steps for a Stronger Marriage, that you probably don't need as many experts involved in your life as you think you do.
I'm going to take it a step further, Cy. I think the experts have terribly overcomplicated things.
Yeah.
They've overcomplicated parenting. They've overcomplicated relationships. They certainly over. Okay, I'll give you a small example. This is one of the more destructive aspects. I can't tell you how many good, loving parents have come to me and said, my young adults have written this out of their lives. And in many cases, it is because a therapist told them to.
Oh, yeah. That's awful.
We just had a sweetheart of a little lady at our church. She's 82 years old. She's kind of like a walking sweetheart of a saint. And a therapist told her daughter, your mother's a trigger. You need to separate yourself.
Wow.
Yeah, that's happening a lot. A lot.
Wow.
That's why you got to be real careful who you go to.
Yes, really. And yeah, that's devastating, isn't it? Your mother's a trigger. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, I hate to say it, but everybody's a trigger at some point. Depending and, on,
you know, the word toxic, your parents are toxic.
Right. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am actually toxic, but it's mostly because of all the Hostess products I've eaten. 888.
Well, I have toxic sensitivity.
Oh, you do? Oh.
Yeah.
What exactly is toxic sensitivity? You're sensitive to 888-318-7884. Indiana, Caroline's in Indiana, listening on 106.3 FM. That name makes me insecure. Is it Caroline or Carolyn?
It's Caroline.
Oh, I'm so happy. I got it right for once. All right, Caroline.
After Neil Diamond. Caroline, you're named after Neil Diamond's song.
Is that right?
I'm sorry.
Sweet Caroline?
No.
Oh.
No, just no.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, we'll just go with Caroline then. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray.
So it kind of relates back to the past couple questions that were saying about how the husband should love his wife and the wife should love her husband. So I guess this is not really related to marriage, but what would you say then the Bible says for parents, how should a father love their children? Because the way that you explained that a wife should love a husband should love his wife, or no, I'm sorry. The way that the wife should love the husband is if you can describe them as like, they treat me like the best person ever, or like I'm the person that they treat the best. Would you say that that is also related to how a father should treat his children or a mother to her children?
It is, but here's the difference, Caroline. Children, by their nature, don't understand that. They can feel very loved. They can feel very secure. But when you have to put rules and limits upon them, they don't understand it. They don't like it. They resist it. And sometimes they think it's you. They think that you don't treat them like you should because you're the only one who hasn't given them a smartphone at age 14. So therefore, you really don't treat me well, Dad. So in that sense, sometimes the very best of parents are misunderstood by the kids, because part of the parent's role is to set limits and boundaries, to teach morality, and the kids are not capable maturity to understand that. So on one hand, yes, when a child is loved, here's a suggestion I give dads. I give this to dads all the time. If your standards are much higher than the social crowd, and if you're a good, faithful Catholic dad, they are, they're going to be higher, then you better be the most affectionate dude to your children that they've seen. Hugs, kisses, compliments. Because if your standards are going to be that high, you've got to constantly reinforce to them, this is nothing personal. I love you desperately, and I'm doing this for your own good. And you have confidence that someday they'll understand that. My 17-year-old son played basketball. Before the games, I'd go down onto the court while they were all just kind of hanging around, and I'd give him a big kiss on his cheek. And I'd say, Petey, try not to stink to join out. And he'd laugh. Later on, he told me, he said, you know, Dad, a couple of my friends came up to me and said they wish their dads would do that. Now think about this, Caroline. A 17-year-old boy in front of a bunch of bleachers. His old man comes down and hugs him and kisses him on the cheek. Now, There was no way I was not going to kiss my son. It's not going to happen. And that's what I tell dads. I said, you don't let your kids dictate the amount of affection you show them. You show it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, well, I guess I was just, I don't know, I guess what recommendation would you say for, like, I guess, like, for me, for my father, like, with him, it's walking around eggshells, and if anything, he's the opposite, like, negative, not complimenting, not affectionate at all. Just always, like, almost nitpicking on like, his kids. So I guess, like, I don't know, I guess I sometimes want to bring that attention to him, and I don't know how, and I guess, well, how would you recommend that? I mean, I did hear your, you recommended, yeah, or you talked about your, that book that you wrote 39 years ago.
Caroline, I would say you do not bring it to his attention. How long has he been your father?
Yeah, my whole life.
Right. He's been this way your whole life. He's not going to change. And if you continue to upset yourself over it, waiting for him to change, your relationship will just be an ugly one, because you'll say, I have to walk on eggshells around him. No, you don't. You be who you are. And when he's picky and nasty and says stupid things, you kind of just look at him like, what's your problem? You don't bicker with him. You're not going to change your old man. That's not going to happen. You kind of recognize, this is who I have as a dad. I didn't get to pick him. Okay.
Yeah.
And so therefore, this is who he is. And I really just want to get along with him as best I can. Even all the dumb things he says and the picky things he says and the put downish things he says, I do not have to be upset by that. See, that's the difference. Because right now you're thinking, he says it, I got to get upset. No, you don't. Not at all. He can say whatever he wants. You don't have to get upset. You're the one who says, I'm going to get upset.
Yeah, well, I guess I never thought about it like that. Well, thank you for that then.
All right, sweet Caroline.
Thank you, Caroline. Thanks very much for the call. The new book, it's Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage. Why is it different than all the other marriage books out there? Because you may have noticed there's a shelf of them.
Yeah, there's a bazillion of them. And they all just assume if I tell you what to do, you're going to do it. And anybody who's a therapist knows I can tell you all kinds of things. That doesn't mean you're going to do it. I got to get you past your resistance to doing it. I've got to show you why this is a better way to act. And that's what the book does.
Yeah. Okay. So if I get the why, then I will be, then I have a kind of, I guess the motivation comes from, oh yeah, this is why I'm doing this. Or this is why I'm maybe, are there things that you maybe are advising too? This is why you're not doing this. Like
that's better. This is why you're not doing this. That's right. Because you can look at these things and every single one of them, you go, yeah, well, yeah, that's a good idea. And then I would say, well, why are you not doing it? Well, and that's where the book goes after you.
I need the right. I suppose that this is one of the problems we have with all the self-help type stuff, is that if I don't have somebody explaining or connecting me to a motive for doing it, I could read 50 books on how to, be better at this or that. I ain't going to be better at this or that.
That's right. Caroline was upset by her dad. She's been upset by her dad for decades. But for her to accept that one of the reasons she's so upset is because he has the ability to upset her, and she just believes that she has to be upset. But she doesn't. I don't have to be upset by what you say. I have to decide whether you're going to upset me. My only concern is whether what you say is true or not. If it's not true, then I got to work on not being upset by it, because you can say anything about me that you want. I can't stop you.
Well, that's all good. When I say it about you, I don't have a bad word about you. Simple Steps to a Stronger Marriage, out now from Dr. Ray Guarendi. He'll be on again when he writes another book, and not before. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you so much for putting up with our technical problems. It's just wonderful when you're on with us. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, Si. Thank you.
All right. Tomorrow, 2 hours, open forum. You can call and ask whatever you like. We'll see you then. God willing. right here, Catholic Answers Live.